following financial professional have asked the question that we are going to entry in following. First, Fernando Lafuente, Alantra, Meike Becker, HSBC, Gonzalo Sánchez-Bordona, UBS, Rob Pulleyn, Morgan Stanley, Peter Bisztyga, Bank of America, Pedro Alves, CaixaBank, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Jorge Alonso, Société Générale, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, José Ruiz, Barclays, James Brand, Deutsche Bank, and finally, Manuel Palomo, Exane BNP. The first question is related to, there are a few analysts asking the following: how does the company's full year 2024 results compare to the guidance?
So thank you very much. I think guidance provided for 2024, always, as we said, for 2025 as well, was excluding extraordinary results. So what I said is full year results are slightly better than our guidance. Adjusted net profit was 5,530 million, growing 15%. And our reported net profit includes 1.1 billion of capital gains, almost fully offset, as Pepe has already explained, by non-cash adjustment that will enhance our future earnings and always do.
Next question is, can you provide, please, more color on the non-cash adjustment? Which factors have driven the adjustment in the renewable business? How does this affect future investments?
Pepe?
Yeah, well, basically, the thing is that due to the fact, as I have commented, that we are going to dedicate more investments to networks and we'll be more selective in renewables. Obviously, in the valuation of that assets, there is, especially in renewables, we value less the pipeline, especially in the U.S., because in the U.S., as we mentioned, we prefer to concentrate in networks. Obviously, that lower valuation of the pipeline is what drives the adjustments that we have commented, most of the 1.6 billion adjustments. So basically, it's the valuation of the pipeline because we're mainly in the U.S., although there is some other adjustments that we are doing in onshore, in other smaller adjustments in other geographies, but it's basically the driver is that. We expect to develop the pipeline in a much longer time, so that means that the pipeline has less value for us today. And that is because, as I was mentioning, is, and as the chairman has mentioned, because we prefer to concentrate our investments in networks and to be more selective in renewables.
Well, I think just to add, as I mentioned before, I think we always have already a system, prudent system, and our rule is to provide a stable growth trend and to avoid already future surprises, negative or positive. So always we is the history of the company has been based in this prudent approach and not to celebrate extraordinary thing, but to keep all these extraordinary things for improving our future results, as always, we did.
Next is regarding to 2025. What drivers are expected to influence the company's mid to high single-digit growth guidance for 2025? Which is the base for the growth calculation, and how will Avangrid, 100% of Avangrid, obviously, and ENW contribute?
So, as I explained in my speech, I think it's a 2025 guidance, so this mid to high single is based in the adjusted net profit of 5,530 million. Based in various things. First, organic investment in transmission and distribution. So, as I mentioned already, mainly U.S. and U.K., which are already coming into service. Increasing our RAB as well in all countries because of our investment and with better tariffs in some cases, which are already, we have rate cases which are already being implemented during 2025. There are as well 2,600 new megawatts of renewables. And I think it's a full contribution of electricity in the West and Avangrid, which is 100%. So, but perhaps, Pepe, you can already give exactly which are the numbers of these Avangrid and UWE that we are expecting.
Yeah, we are expecting that both of them will contribute, the sum of both of them will contribute, somewhere between 100 million and 200 million euros for 2025. So, these both companies, ENW, will contribute 12 months versus 2 months last year. And obviously, Avangrid, the acquisition of the minorities will also add. So I think we think that 150 to 200 million could come from these two deals. So.
The community is also asking what will be the expected net profit level for 2026, taking into account the slide.
Well, I thought that I've already, I tried to clarify that one in my comment, but I think I will insist again. So I think it's mainly is due to our network business in US and UK, as well as the completion of the project under construction. I think we mentioned that we have 15 billion euros in this moment of working process that is not providing results. And I think most of them, they are going to be completed during this period. So I think we have already the distribution in our countries will contribute more because we have more regulated base. There are new projects which will be completed during this year, which is NCEC in US and someone in UK and Brazil as well. The transmission we are already in construction. And offshore is Anglia 3 will be completed during next year. Windanker will be completed next year. And Vineyard Wind will be completed by the end of 2025. So, and I think, as Pepe mentioned, we have the full contribution of electricity in Northwest, which this year we will contribute partially only because we are expecting the final approval of CMA, we are expecting soon, but I think a few months will not be contributing. But in any case, I think, as always, in our Capital Markets Day on the 24th of September, we'll provide you a very detailed, all these things, and I hope they will be as well, as good as we are expecting.
Next question is related to the, for the guidance of net debt at the end of 2025 and the main drivers of factors that are influencing these figures.
Pepe?
Yeah, well, we are expecting to end the year with adjusted net debt somewhere between 55 and 56 billion euros. Basically, apart from the, obviously, the traditional investment plan, you know, and that we always have. This year, you know, what is going to change is the ENW consolidation. That could add around 2.5, 2.6 billion euros of new debt when we consolidate the ENW. But it will add also the FFO, okay? So it will consolidate the debt, but we will consolidate the FFO, which we are right now not consolidating. To compensate that, you know, we are right now with two or three initiatives of asset rotation that we hope to complete through the year. We might see, depending on when we consolidate ENW, that we might have a peak in debt in the first half. But obviously, if we finalize these two or three initiatives that we are expecting, you know, that will compensate. But in the end of the year, as I was saying, 55 to 56 billion euros of debt. And the FFO over net debt will be more or less stable compared to the to this year. So we are expecting that by the end of the year, the FFO over net debt will be in line with the FFO over net debt of this year.
Next question is related to the European Union and is about the recent clean industrial deal and the affordable energy plan. What is your view on the subject?
So I think it's, first thing, we are positive on the document. I think it's a good initiative. I think it's a deep analysis how to improve the European competitivity. I think it's most of our recommendations are included in terms of clear market orientation, promoting long-term contracts, PPAs, TFDs, etc. It's a strong message on reduction of taxes and charges. You know, I've been for many years insisting on this, for compare the taxes and charges we have in Europe compared with Americans, which is much, much higher. And the need to increase network investment. I think I've already spoke enough about networks needed. And I think that is one more document which are encouraging to invest more in networks to already provide electricity demand, which now is waiting for this grid. but I'm positive on it.
Next question is about how President Trump administration may affect your plans in the US in the future, and also the impact it may have on your ongoing renewables projects.
So we are more than 20 years in the United States. We have in this country almost more than $40 billion in assets. We are present in 24 states. We have the distribution networks in New York, Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts. We are serving almost 10 million Americans. We have increased the investment in the history in these 20 years. We have increased investment in oil administration, could reach 11 assets because of the investment we've been making, including during the previous Trump administration, that we continue investing in increasing our asset base. I'm sure that we will work well with the new one. In fact, since the change of administration, we have already committed around $4 billion into this country, a capital increase to Avangrid, plus facilities, liquidity facilities to Avangrid as well. I think there is something certain. The demand in the United States continues growing more than ever, and investment in grid, in power, more needed than ever. So I think that's why I think the networks, which is not dependent on federal authorities, dependent on the states, are encouraging us to invest more and more and to put more money to already to provide electricity that citizens require. So, but I think that's why our position in the U.S., 80% of our business, as you know, is networks. In this, these networks, I insist, are regulated by states. And these are already, we have plans of investment almost of $19-20 billion in networks in the next few years in all the states. In New York mainly is the main place where we have to make. Because they need more resilience in the grid, more digitalized the grid, and they have to have access to the new demand of data centers and others. The rest, 20% of our business is 20% of our the rest of the business is renewables power, let's say. And this power is we have 10 gigawatt in operation. We have the production of all these gigawatt sold through long-term PPAs, and also we have a strong pipeline where we can develop according with the demand. So we have a strong prospect, data center, etc. But we will modulate because our priority now is investment in networks, as you know very well. So I think, as I mentioned as well, most of our supply chains is to America is secured, either in networks, most of it is American production, and power, many of it is as well, but I think in this moment for all the projects we have in construction is already fully, either the components are in America, or the few of them, less than 5% of the total investment, are already on the way, so which I think the risk is minimum of whatever thing can happen in terms of regulation.
Next question is related to the tariff, U.S. tariff, but has been already answered and also has been mentioned in the speech. Next question is regarding to Spain. What is your opinion about the Spanish nuclear fleet closure plan? Has there been any change in the current situation?
So I'm going to in the last few years, the energy scenario is already changed worldwide, in Spain, in Europe, as consequence of many things, of a new demand from electric vehicles, data centers, cooling and heating, and geopolitical factors. I think the need of become more and more self-sufficient in the countries is a reality. So we are seeing countries around. I think yesterday Germany announced that they would like to revise and to reopen the nuclear power plant. They close, the same political party which now is in power, they are trying to reopen those ones. In Belgium, they are already reopening those ones. I think the European Commission is already providing some support or supporting the state aid for reopening or extending life of this nuclear power plant. And I think that is what is happening in the rest of the geographies, Britain, United States, whatever. So I think my point is that this situation requires deep analysis to see what is the impact of a potential shutdown, and I think all the agents we have to participate. What I can say is Spain's nuclear fleet is safe, efficient, and reliable. And I think myself as electric engineer, my opinion is that currently are absolutely necessary for the system stability and to keep the lights on. So we are seeing a problem in countries which are already having problems with blackouts as a consequence of the stability of the system is already being affected for several circumstances, mainly because of the volatility of certain of the power which now are in the system. So my approach is clear. So that is something that have to be done with an open dialogue with all parties to create a common vision on the future of the electricity system and the nuclear in this electricity system to provide this competitive, reliable service to the citizens. We are looking for competitivity. We are looking for reliable service. We are already all committed to provide the best for the citizen, as other countries are doing. So we are not trying to invent the wheel. The wheel has been invented. Everybody is moving in the right direction. We have at least to make an open dialogue to analyze why we are moving in different directions if we move, or why it's not better to move in the same direction of another one. So Iberdrola, as always, we are ready to participate in such a dialogue as we always done. I think we would like the best for the citizens, and we would like the best for the system, and we would like the best for Spain. So I think in that way, I think we are a Spanish company. We are very pleased to participate in this dialogue for doing our best for providing the best service to the Spanish citizen in the best condition for all of them.
Next question is related to the UK. Could you please share some insights on the zonal pricing that is being proposed in the review of electricity market arrangements, and if possible, the effects that could have on your UK business?
So I used to say that when something is working well, it's better not to generate noises which can already affect to the investment which is already required for making that one. And unless when all these things the people are talking about cannot be implemented before 2035. So why to generate now just a debate, something which cannot be implemented in the next 10 years? So Britain and the government is already encouraging us to invest almost 200 billion in the UK infrastructure. Only Scottish Power, Iberdrola, I commit with the Prime Minister a few months ago, 24 billion up to 2028. So, and I think it's for making such a 200 billion investment, we need stability and predictability. So no noise and no disturbances in the discussion, theoretical discussion. That for this reason, large investors and trade unions agree that this will go against the urgent infrastructure investment required in the country. So I know very well members of the government. They are very committed with to make the country to grow, and for making this growth to attract as much as possible private investment to build the infrastructure the country requires. I'm sure they're going to be very sensitive to this approach of the largest investors to not generate now noises which are not helping precisely to move on the speed up with the country required for making this investment happen as soon as possible.
Next question is related to the percentage of production in Spain and UK we have locked in 2025 and 2026 for Spain and UK, as I mentioned, and the prices linked to this energy.
Armando.
Hello, everybody. In Spain, for 25, around 95% is already committed, and for 26 is 75%. It is worth highlighting that the wholesale prices in 25 are better than in 24, and are around 20% or higher than expected in our capital market days last March. In the UK, we have more than 90% of 25 and 75% of 26 already committed, and the prices are similar of the 24.
Next is related to Spain again. Could you provide update timing expectation on Spanish electricity distribution regulation and returns and the condition expected?
I think the process is ongoing. I have no recent news. We expect, in any case, to be finalized before the year end. And I'm already, I hope it's going to be already moving in the positive direction. Anyway, We have a huge investment opportunities in networks, as I already mentioned, in all our countries. Spain today is our fourth country in terms of rate base, and I'm sure that Spain is going to move in the, at the same speed for new investment and the same returns than other countries is already providing us.
Next question is related to Vineyard Wind, and if we could give an update on the current situation of the offshore park.
I was last week there in Boston, and we were already revising the project. I think the build-up is progressing very well. All the foundation and the transition pieces are already installed. I think it's, the only thing is already just is only we are just depending on one single provider, which is General Electric, which has installing, completing the installation of the turbines. And I think the expectation is they will be fully completed by 2025. In this moment, we are already exporting electricity from some of our installed turbines, and I think that it works very well. I think the first tax credit has been received, and we expect already to continue receiving as soon as the new turbines are being put in service. So I think I was quite... let's say, satisfy how the how is progressing the work on that one.
And last question is related to another offshore power plant. Is New England one in the US? If we can give us some update as well.
So I've not been visiting New England one, but I promise after this question I'm going to go for have a review on that one. But as far as I know, I think is we have 100% of the supply chain secure, a contract signed. We are already there, starting already the construction of these components. The plan is to be in operation by 2029, I think, 2029, yes. And I think it's going well. I think it's the most important thing is supply chain secure, and I think we are in the progress and progressing that one well. I think we have the PPA, the CFD assigned, and all the terms of this is already done and is already in a process, in normal process on that one. So the most important thing is the supply chain. The supply chain is absolutely secure in this moment.
Okay, one hour later than the starting point of this presentation. Now, please let me give the floor to Mr. Galán again to conclude this event.
So thank you very much once again for attending this conference call. And if you have any doubt, as always, the investor relations team will be available for any additional information you may require. Thank you very much, and I think see you soon. Thank you.